We're here with Marcus Edelman of Coroner, the drummer of Coroner. And Marcus, my first question for you is, what is Coroner doing? What are you guys up to right now? And what is currently going on with the band right now?
Rehearsing, practicing, rehearsing. That's basically what we do. You know, it's like for me personally, I didn't play drums within 15 years. So ever since, I think we started September last year, we started to play the songs, the old songs. And so by now it sounds quite good. But it was a lot of work. Very painful, actually.
It's interesting you say that, because you're telling me you hadn't played any drums for 15 years. And is that true? You haven't played that long?
No, I did. Play in Tom G. Warrior's project, Apollyon Song, for a while, but it was more like some e-drums I played there, which was not really the same what I'm doing with Coroner. So, but that kind of, you know, playing drums like for Coroner, I never did for 15 years. So it was, first of all, interesting for me if I can play drums at all anymore. But it went pretty good, and it went faster than I thought, so it's cool.
Why did you decide to start playing shows again, and what prompted you guys to get back together?
Well, it was like, you know, ever since maybe 4 or 5 years, Tommy always called me, mostly like around Christmas or so. It was like, listen, you know, there's like festivals coming up in the summer, and you have like some requests to play at the festivals. And for me, it was completely impossible. I couldn't imagine that we come back together and that we gonna play that music again. So for many years, I was always like, oh, come on, forget it. And more and more, it was like, you know, it was like, hey, there's another festival we can play. There's another show we could do here and there. And now last year, I was finally like, okay, let's just give it a try. And then we're going to decide. So we were playing together for 3 or 4 times. And then we decided, yeah, it does make sense. It's possible, actually.
Mm-hmm. So you're in the room rehearsing with these guys. And what was it like for you to finally be in a rehearsal room playing with Tommy and Ron again as a band? I mean, what was that like for you? How did you feel when you started playing these songs once again?
It was a total trip. It was really like a time warp. It was totally strange. It's really like sometimes you could play the songs automatically. It was still like somehow programmed. It was really funny. You know, your arms going left and right, and you don't really you don't know why, but it's, oh wow, yeah, that's why I have to hit this cymbal right now. So that was really quite a trip, and yeah, it makes me feel like being warped back for 15 years or more. So it's really cool. It's a good feeling. And I miss playing drums at all. Totally, you know, it's like, that was also something I'm very happy right now to just play drums, you know.
How hard was it to start playing these songs once again, and did you really find it difficult when you first started playing them?
Yes, because it was not just the technical side. It was also like, you know, to get fit again, to the cardio. It's like you know, I'm not 22 years old anymore, so it's that was also something I had to work on. But it's cool. I'm doing good.
Well, Marky, obviously you guys sound pretty good, because I was checking out the rehearsal videos you had been posting. And you know, over here in the U.S., I know quite a few guitar players, and, you know, many people, when I announced that I was doing this interview with you, people, I received more emails and more inquiries about this than I have over the past probably couple of years. And Marky, there are a lot of Coroner fans that have emailed me from around the world, and there's also a slew of guitar players who have been highly influenced by you guys, and even a guitar player in my own band. And I have to ask you, and this is a question I'm sure you're going to hear quite a bit, but if the vibe is right and everything is going well on these shows, could you see you guys going in and maybe recording another record?
We never really thought about that. because we were too busy to get fit for the show. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I cannot say right now. There is no talk about this at all yet. We were just like right now. We concentrate totally on playing those live shows. And whatever happens later, I have no idea yet. I really can't say. There was no time to think about.
Yeah. Another question many people had been emailing me, Marky, is that all of your albums are out of print. I mean, they're really difficult to find and hard to find. And do you guys maybe have some plans to maybe reissue some of your back catalog?
That's right. Yeah, I was surprised too because I was actually trying to buy a CD recently, and it said that all of them are out of stock, so you cannot buy them anymore. So it would probably be a good idea. I mean, basically you can download actually everything. So, but. I was always someone I like, you know, for also the vinyl to have something in my hand, you know. It's like, as well as a CD, I still like it. It's still different than in just a downloaded file on your computer. So maybe we're gonna think about that. We actually were working last year. We started to work on some sort of like a home video where we, you know, gonna put all the video recordings we did in the past. We wanted to put something together, but it needed quite a lot of time, you know, like also with interviews and things like that. So probably next year or so we're going to put out something like this, a little box with a DVD or something. I don't know yet. So.
Now, Mark, you guys obviously have 5 studio albums and, of course, the compilation. And let's talk briefly about each one of these records. Give your thoughts on each one of these albums. We'll start with the debut. And I'd like you just to basically talk about the making of each record. Maybe we could talk about, you know, give your thoughts on these albums, and let's talk about each one of them, give your thoughts about them. You know, let's start with Rip, and, you know, give us your thoughts about that album, looking back at it.
Well, I think we were quite nervous doing this record. It was the first, as you said, the first record. It was quite a new situation going. We recorded this one in Berlin with Harris Jones. It was quite a trip going, you know, going to another country, record there. We felt quite a pressure, you know. We had to be very good, you know, otherwise there won't be a second record. And also we probably tried a little bit too much for our skills at that time, at least when I talk for myself. So it was very, very fast, everything, a lot of tones within 1 second, and it was maybe a bit hard, you know, for us to play these songs. They should be slower, actually, for the skills we had at this time. So the whole production is, in the end, came out a bit, you can say, a bit swampy. It's a bit, it's not cracking, really. So, but still, looking back, it's a nice record. So I like the sleeve a lot still.
Now we move on to the second record, Punishment for Decadence. And this album had the video for Masked Jackal, which I remember seeing on MTV as a little kid on Headbangers Ball. And give us your thoughts on the making of this record. Give us your thoughts about Punishment for Decadence, looking back at it after all this time. And just talk about that era of the band and talk about the making of your second album.
That was Punishment for Decadence. It was produced by Guy Beatmead, right? That was the guy. He produced Motorhead before. I think he did, if I'm right, he did Orgasmatron or something. And for us, it was wow. You know, that's another level. Now we have like an internationally known producer. It's going to be really cool. So and we went again to Berlin, this time at the Skytrax studio, which was owned by the record company, which was a very comfortable situation for us because there was, I think it was 5th floor, there was a studio, and on the 6th or 7th floor, under the roof, there was like living rooms, bedrooms, things like that. So you didn't have to go to a hotel, go forwards, backwards. So you had a lot of possibilities to relax or to write the lyrics, you know, in case you're not recording in the studio. That was the first record, a little bit of problem. There was only a little kitchen where you can sit when you were not recording. That made it very comfortable for us. And the work with Guy Bidmead was also quite cool. It's looking back, of course, I think there was not one record where we were really walked out and we were totally satisfied. We were like, wow, that's exactly what we wanted to do. First of all, there was, if you write the songs, it takes probably more than 1 year. So once you get to the studio, you already feel like, well, I would actually like to do different, a little bit different songs than the songs you were writing 1 year ago. But then still, you have to record these songs. And once you finish with the production, you already have more ideas what you could change, so on. So you're never 100% satisfied. And but still, it's also the same. A little bit disappointing was that the record cover I did originally was a part of the Porte de l'Enfer. It's an artwork, a big gate made by Roger Staudin. And I took, there's a little part out of this gate you can see on the original cover. And the record company somehow changed the cover for the second edition and put this kind of like Grim Reaper playing violin on the front cover. And that was quite disappointing because I think the original cover looks much, much better.
Now on to album number 3. You came out with an album called No More Color, and many people out there, many of the people who had been influenced by Coroner will tell you that this album is probably the most influential album by you guys and probably their favorite. And there are some crazy song structures on here, Marcus, especially when you look back at what was around at the time. There weren't any bands that really sounded like you guys. And what were you thinking? I have to wonder what was going through your mind. What were you thinking when you guys were recording this album and writing these songs? I mean, what was going through your mind? Because there's some crazy song structures on this album, and talk a little bit about that.
The thing is, I cannot tell you too much about the songwriting itself, because I was quite busy doing the lyrics. So it was basically all the music is mainly written by Tommy and Ron. So whatever, they mostly came to the rehearsings, they already had like finished parts. So we just were like arranging them together. So I was not too much involved into the melodies and all these kind of things. So I cannot tell you too much about that.
Now the next record you had was Mental Vortex, and a lot of people consider this your best work. And I believe was that recorded here? Was that recorded here in the U.S.?
No,
you didn't.
It was also recorded in Berlin.
Okay.
But it was mixed in Florida at
Gotcha.
At Morris Sound Recording, as well as No More Color too. Our wish was already at that time to work with these guys like Scott Burns and Dan Johnson or Tom Morris. Because we just loved the sound they did. We loved this Florida, death metal sound. That was the studio for that kind of music. And and for us, that was exactly the sound we wanted. So for No More Color, it was actually Pete Hinton doing the recording and actually the producing. But we went then already to mix. We went to Florida to do that. For Mental Vortex, then we definitely just worked with Tom Morris from the beginning to the end. So he did everything. He produced the whole thing.
Now your next album, Grin, took a little bit of a different direction for the band. And talk about why you decided to take that different direction, and talk a little bit about the making of the album Grin.
I think by that time we played a lot of live shows, so more and more you will also hear there's a difference in the songwriting, because we found that what is working for us live. There was many songs on the R.I.P. album, for instance, if we played those songs as a trio on stage, I mean, there's not all of them. Some of them work pretty good, but some of them, they're just impossible to play as a trio on stage. It just sounds not good. And it's, on the other hand, it's no fun to play them. So more and more we learned, you know, what is working for us on stage. And I think that had a main influence on the songwriting. And on the other side, there was, of course, there was, during the whole time, there was other bands, other music that influenced us a lot. You know, there was, I think there was at that time, as we did the Grin thing, there was a lot of, like, psychedelic music we were actually into listening besides hard music. There was a lot of kind of strange music we were into, so it was also for us very, very important to put this this kind of feeling into our own music, you know. It's like,
now if you had to pick one of those records as your favorite, which one would it be and why? Now, Marky, talk about why the band broke up. I mean, the demise of the band in the early, mid-90s. And, you know, I'm kind of curious why this band decided to call it a day after about 10 years of existence.
Why we did break up?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say. It was just like after 10 years playing with the same people, the same music. We were maybe on a point where it was just it was just over. We could feel like, you know, we cannot get anywhere else without completely breaking with the style of Corner. Everybody was up to do something different. Tommy already played in his new project Clockwork at that time, focusing totally on this. There was, for us, it was just we were trapped in something that we just could get out by finishing it. And for us, it was also important to stop at the point where we're still good friends, where we still think that people still like us and everything is okay, instead of going on and then probably putting out bad records, playing bad shows. So it was just clear to us it's a good moment to stop now.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was kind of strange because we stopped, and in the back of my head, I was still like Corner. I thought probably, you know, we get back together maybe 1 or 2 years later, we're going to talk again or something. But more and more, I felt that, wow, this is really the end, you know, that's it. And so it took quite a while for me to realize that it's really that it's over. But it was also good because there was many, many other things I did and I had the time to do. So and now it's really cool to play again with the guys. You know, that's also good because we didn't broke up in a big fight. And so it's really cool. You know.
Now talk a little bit about the response the banners received. I mean, you're playing a lot of great festivals. And number one, how excited are you to be able to play live in front of people after 15 years? And what kind of response has the band been receiving now that you've kind of reformed and started playing shows again?
99% positive response, and there was a part of people, of course, they went like, hey, all these years they denied or they rejected, or they didn't want it to play, get together again, and now they suddenly play. There must be a lot of money, you know, that they made this decision and so on. And I could tell you, of course, yes, we get a good amount of money for these shows, but on the other hand, we played for nothing over 10 years, you know. And so, and I think we just deserve a little bit of money to do that, and it was a lot of work as well. Mm-hmm. So, but it was definitely not the main reason. I mean, you know, for me it was, it took quite a long time to agree that we're going to play again, because I just don't want to destroy anything, you know, that is here for Corner, that stands for Corner. I don't want to play bad shows, so I feel very much responsible for all this. And to be honest, for me it would be actually cooler if we had like some smaller shows in the beginning, or anyways, I like club shows a lot. So big festivals is a different thing, you know. And I think everything sounds good right now in the rehearsing room, so I think nothing can go wrong. So mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward, you know, it's like now I really want to play. I want to play on stage, and I hate this bunker where we rehearse the last 6-7 months. I don't want to play down there anymore. So,
so, Marky, I have a couple more questions for you. The first one will be, you had a pretty good career with Corner for 10 years and put out some really, really great records, at least in my opinion. And you were able to accomplish quite a bit during your tenure and really made some of the best thrash metal albums of all time. And over the span of your career with Corner, what were some of the things you were the most proud of as far as your accomplishments go?
It's basically just to get out of small Switzerland, small Zurich. You know, this is something I'm really proud of, because it was a lot of work. You know, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy for any band actually to get known in other countries or get the attention. But that's something I'm very proud. You know, because people, no one believed that. You know, people. Here they thought it's completely not possible. I mean, you know, the pioneer actually was Tom with Hellhammer and Celtic Frost, which were ahead of us, and they showed us too. You know, it's possible. It's possible to tour the United States. You know, if you would say that maybe in the like end 70s or something, as a young band playing in Surrey, you go like, hey, you know, next year we go on U.S. tour, that people will laugh at you. And so yeah, of course, I know. So it was, everything was possible, and that's maybe something I'm really proud of. And also that we stick together as a band. There was no permanent changes in the lineup. We managed somehow. It was not easy all the time, but we managed somehow to get along and to create this music together for 10 years. So that's quite okay, I think.
For my last question, Marky, do you have any last words you want to say to all of your fans over here in the USA?
Yeah, just I'm very excited. The whole band is very excited to play in the US after such a long time. It's fantastic that we have the chance. I also thank very much Ryan from Maryland Death Fest for giving us the chance to play there. And I want to thank everybody, you know, for all the comments on the many YouTube movies. I'm very touched by seeing young guitar players, bass players, drummers playing our songs at home, and that's just fantastic. I'm very happy about that, and I hope to see as many as you as possible.